you guys. What are we talking about today? M. Night Shyamalan. Shyamalan.
Yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Well, okay. Well, the thing about M. Night Shyamalan, and, you know, this has been said by millions of people, not just us, but, you know, he started out real strong with The Sixth Sense, which is actually a really good movie.
That's his movie, yeah.
And then after that, it seemed like a little bit of diminishing returns, let's say that.
Actually, I liked his take on superhero movies.
Yeah, a lot of people liked Unbreakable,
series.
Split, and what was the other one? No, I can't remember.
Shit, I forgot. That whole trilogy.
Glass, that was the third one.
I actually want to own all those on Blu-ray.
Yeah, see, those are good.
Yeah, those are good, and his the very first one is good. I don't really like Signs. I'm going to let Jenny handle it.
You know what's weird is that I saw Signs. I didn't see it in the theater. I did see some of his movies in the theater. I think I saw Sixth Sense in the theater. I saw The Village in the theater, which I didn't love, but I didn't hate it as much as some people did. But after The Village, I wasn't really interested in seeing anything else of his, especially because I heard they were just complete ass after that, especially like Lady in the Water, The Last Airbender, stuff like that. But and The Happening, which is supposedly like really, really funny, but not intentionally.
You can't really take people's words for it. You have to see it yourself. I mean,
that's true.
People say that it sucks. And I saw it. I said, no, it's pretty good. But
if everybody says it sucks, then it's probably safe to say that it probably sucks.
I don't know. Everybody said The Mummy sucked. I saw that the other day. I liked it, but
it was all right.
I liked it. It's a matter of taste.
Actually, we're recording this. This is going up after that. Will be
okay.
So we talked about that.
About it already.
Right. Yeah. Even though not in real life, but
right
in YouTube terms, we talked about it already. But the weird thing about it. Okay, so I saw Signs probably a year or two after it came out. I liked it when I saw it. I didn't love it because I'm not a big alien movie person. You know what I mean? Other with a few notable exceptions, but watching it again, it was a lot better than I remembered. You know what I'm saying?
Not really.
You didn't like it? You don't like it?
It got worse the second time for me. I'd seen it before and liked it. I saw it before and thought it was okay. But then seeing it again, it wasn't rewatchable. And I think it's because when you see it for the first time, you're really expecting something big and impressive to happen. Something along the lines of like Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That never really happens, though. So knowing what it is that they're dealing with takes all the suspense out of it. Takes all the, you know, all the wonder out of it. You go, oh, yeah, it's that thing running around, missing fingers. You know,
well, I would argue that that might be why The Sixth Sense is such a great movie when you see it for the first time if you don't know what the twist is.
Yeah.
But if you watch it again, it's not, you know, it's not as awesome because you already know what the twist is. And I think that's like the best thing about it.
Yeah. But Bruce Willis carries that movie, though.
He does. Yeah. I mean, and I will still argue that that's a pretty great movie.
Yeah, it's good.
But the thing about Signs that I guess, like I said, I saw it before and it just didn't make that much of an impression, but I knew a lot of people liked it. Like, you know, particularly in regards to, M. Night Shyamalan's movies and were like, you know, this is kind of one of his only good ones. And so I wanted to revisit it for the show because I hadn't seen it in such a long time. I think that what is disappointing for people if they don't know anything about it is that you're expecting something like you said, like Close Encounters or even like Independence Day or something like that. It's, you know, it's like an alien invasion, but the movie's not really about that. He's really kind of just using aliens as sort of like a metaphorical device to talk about other things. And there's actually a pretty popular theory going around on the internet that has been going around for a long time that the aliens are not actually aliens, but they're kind of like demons. Because this movie is about faith. It's not about aliens. So, all right. So if you haven't, if on the off chance that you haven't seen Signs, because I feel like everybody has probably fucking seen this movie, I will say that this is one of Mel Gibson's best acting performances.
The acting's great.
Acting's actually pretty fantastic.
It's actually shot really well.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, the whole cast is great in it. It's got a fantastic score.
Yeah, the score is really good. A lot of people have singled that out for praise because it really is a good score.
This is not a shit movie by any means. It's a high quality movie. It's just not really rewatchable, I don't think.
And well, like you said, once you know
what's going on,
I don't know, but I think I appreciated it more the second time. Because since I had already seen, you know, the couple scenes with the aliens, and I already knew that it was aliens, so I could focus more on the character drama and like what was going on with that. So I think I liked it more. And you know what's really weird? The first time I saw it, I totally did not remember it being funny, but it's funny.
It has
like intentionally funny, like not like The Happening, which was like so bad that it was funny. It actually has intentional humor in it that actually really works. And I had completely forgotten that aspect of it. But yeah, so, all right. So basically you got Mel Gibson, and he is his name's Graham Hess, and he used to be an Episcopal priest. But he has lost his faith. He lost his faith because his wife died in this random car accident. She died like in a really, really horrible way. And like, it's weird because I know that he must have used, because there's been all these urban legends where a dude is at some terribly, perilous job, and he gets stuck in a machine. And he's like all fucked up, but like the top half, but he's still conscious. And like the top half of him, they all call his wife to like come and talk to him like before he dies, because they have to turn the machine back on. So that's like a pretty famous urban legend. So I think that M. Night kind of used it for this, because the wife gets hit by a car, like pinned against a tree, and she's essentially like torn in half. So they can't move the car, but she's still conscious. So they like have Mel Gibson come and talk to her or whatever. So that's kind of shown in flashback throughout the movie. So his wife has died. He's not dealing with it too well. He's lost his faith. He doesn't believe in God anymore. And he's raising these two kids, Bo and what's the other kid's name?
I don't remember.
Shit, man. No, I can't remember what the other kid's name is. The other kid's name is Rory Culkin. That's her. And also the little girl, Bo, is played by Abigail Breslin. This was her very first role. She was in Zombieland later on. She was Maggie in Maggie with the zombie movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. She's been like in a ton of other movies as well. But yeah, this was her first movie, and she is cute as a button in this. Usually I don't like child actors, but she's actually pretty cute in this.
Joaquin Phoenix
plays the younger brother who is kind of like moved in with him to help take care of the kids or whatever.
It's hard to believe that this movie's so old that Joaquin Phoenix looks real young in this.
Well, I couldn't believe how young Mel Gibson looked in it.
Seems like this movie came out yesterday. It didn't, though. You can really tell that this is from a Hollywood of a guy bygone era. You can. Just the score alone gives it away. You don't hear scores like that anymore. Usually they just kind of layer in some generic bullshit.
Well, it's an old school,
It feels like it's going to be Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's what it feels like it's going to be. It's not. But
this is almost kind of like, I've seen this compared to like a Twilight Zone episode.
That, you know, I was gonna say,
and I think that it's, if you, like I said, if you like approach it from that angle, because you're not, you know, even though the aliens are hostile and even though they are invading for whatever purpose, you don't really see any of it. But in a way, I think that that's kind of like good, because you don't see a lot of sci-fi movies that are just kind of set with one family and like what it would be like if you lived with that family. You know what I mean? You're seeing it just through their eyes. You don't see like the big global shit. You just see like glimpses of shit on TV. It almost kind of reminds me, like, more recently, remember the movie we watched, The Vast of Night, which was kind of like the same thing, where it was like a big alien type of thing, but it was really grounded just like in one little town and like a couple characters. And I think that's a really good, like, economical way of putting across, because like I said, I don't think he's trying to get across, you know, it's a global destruction like by aliens, but he's trying to get across what it would be like, you know, perhaps if this really happened, if aliens did show up and you just lived in this family and that's what it would be like if you were there. You know what I mean? So I kind of like that. And I also like too that he doesn't show the aliens very much. Yeah. You know, I like that a lot of it is sort of left to your imagination.
I guess it's personal opinion. I didn't like it because of that.
It's a different kind of movie.
To me, it felt almost like a stage play, something that should have been done on performed live. This didn't really have to be a movie, but you know, because it's so dialogue driven. And I'm just not.
It is. And like I said, it's like, it's more like a philosophical movie for sure.
Yeah.
Because like I said, the whole point of the movie is, you know, Mel Gibson's character, who used to be a priest, getting his faith back, understanding that, that everything that happens in the movie is not just a coincidence, that everything had some meaning, like his wife dying, the weird thing that his daughter has with the water, like where she thinks water's contaminated, so she leaves glasses of water all over the house, the stuff about the kid, the son having asthma, the thing about Joaquin Phoenix's character, his name is Merrill, about him being kind of like a failed baseball player and still having the bat, you know, and all this other kind of stuff, because all that stuff plays into it later. So it's almost kind of like the whole thing, and you can say that it's contrived, you can say that it's on the nose, which it is, you know, from a storytelling standpoint. Nobody ever said that M. Night was a great writer. You know what I'm saying?
Well, he's got a point he's trying to get across, so he does it that way.
Yeah, and I mean, it can be like a little heavy-handed, but I think that it worked in this situation.
The movie's a product of its time.
Sure.
Man, if I was a little younger, maybe I would enjoy it, but I'm just kind of jaded. I'm not really big into, when it comes to cinema, I don't really need dialogue or story-driven movies that much. You know what I mean? I'm really into visual aspects, visual storytelling. You know, something along the lines of, you know, Apocalypse Now or Conan or something, you know, looking where there's more showing you stuff than there is talking about it. But Jenny's a writer, so, you know, she sees things through that framework of what you can do with writing and dialogue. That's great. Some people like that. To me, I just kind of, it becomes tedious for me. I'm just kind of disinterested in it, you know. I thought this movie was boring on second viewing. On the first viewing, I thought it was a lot better because I didn't really know what was going to happen. I thought it was going to end up with like a bigger deal in the end, and it's not really. It's just, I don't know. It's a matter of opinion. I didn't really like this movie.
Well, like I said, it kind of depends on how you're coming at it. If you're coming at it like expecting, and I'm not even saying, I don't think this is a great movie, but watching it again, I liked it better the second time than I liked it the first time. I think the first time it didn't make that much of an impression. I liked the couple alien scenes. Like, I really love that famous jump scare, like with Joaquin Phoenix watching the Brazilian kid's birthday party, like on the TV, and like, move children, vominos, you know what I mean? And then like the fucking, the alien walking by. So I thought that was like really well done. I also like too, that there are a couple jump scares in this, but he doesn't telegraph them, which, you know what I mean? There's not that music like, oh, everything goes quiet and then blah, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, when the alien is that's stuck in the pantry, like, and his fingers just come out, he doesn't do like a musical sting or anything like that, which I think makes it more effective. He's good at building up suspense in this. And like I said, obviously, if you've seen it before, you know, maybe a lot of the suspense is lost because you know it's aliens and you know what the aliens look like. But if you're kind of like, I was trying to watch it from a point of view of someone that hadn't seen it before. So the way that he did the shots, the way that, particularly that one shot where Mel Gibson's like in the cornfield because he heard something out there and like, you know, he just sees the little bit of a leg. So I thought that was kind of cool that he went such a long time without showing the alien. And I also like too that when he did show the aliens near the end, he usually showed them in like reflections. Like he's like in a reflection of a knife or a reflection of a TV or something like that. I don't know. I just really liked that choice because, like I said, I think it's creepier if you can't really see it, like, you know what I mean? If you don't really get,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm just trying to compare this to other movies that are out there. You know what I mean? And it just, for me, friendly alien movies that still has a lot of suspense, a lot of excitement, it's just very, very hard to beat Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That, well, yeah, that's kind that of movie's like a the fucking gold standard. Sure.
Especially, the redone ones, where they kind of allowed you to see what was happening inside the alien craft, which some people don't like that. I like either version of that movie. You know, the updated versions, I still liked it. When it comes to attacking aliens, I'm going to give it to Tom Cruise's War of the Worlds. A lot of people didn't like that movie. I thought it was kind of dumb that they came out of the ground, but who gives a shit? It's just it's just bad aliens zapping the fuck out of people, turning them into dust. I liked that one.
You know what? I didn't hate it.
I liked it. I liked that better than, say, Independence Day.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Independence Day. I'd have to see it again. I think I saw it in the theater when it came out, and I maybe saw it once more after that. And I didn't hate it. It was just kind of like, meh.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan, generally, I'm not a big fan of, like, these big fucking spectacle movies. You know what I mean? You know, they're fine, but they don't usually make much of an impression on me. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I kind of like, I don't know, I just kind of like smaller movies. I don't know. I feel like if something is too big or something, you can't really, like, relate to it, or you can't get a grip on it.
Well, I liked the spectacle movies of the 80s and the 90s and the 70s.
You yeah.
I mean, when the 2000s started to roll around, there started to be some diminishing returns there. Nowadays, the 2020s and late 2010s, no, they were fucking bad, most of them.
Well, because, and most we've talked about this before, yeah. because spectacle, now that we have CGI,
yeah.
they can show anything.
Yeah.
So essentially, there's no sense of wonder anymore no. because everyone's just kind of like, oh, the more of that.
More CG, yeah. Thank yeah. you. Yes, I got this video game at home, yeah.
So that's what I mean. So, right. so in a way, going back to Signs, I think that's why that works, why it works better on this one, because it's not, it's an alien invasion movie, but one where the alien invasion isn't really the most important or the theme of the movie, which is more like character driven. But also I like that it just, it grounded it in one family. It grounded it in, you know, if you were in this house, this is what you would see. You know what I'm saying? Now let's talk a little bit about, because I know a lot of people, even people who like this movie, complain about, oh my God, why would the aliens, if they were intelligent enough to have like interstellar travel, why would they come to a planet that was 70% water if they were hurt by water? Now, I get that. But I will give you, and I'm not saying that's not like a fantastic, this is not like a fantastic screenwriting decision.
What's
but
the chances of life being hurt by water?
Yeah, well, very, you know, very, well, here's the thing, though, I'll give you two arguments. I'm like I said, if you think that, it's like, I'm not going to argue with you about that. Okay. It's like, I would have come up with something else if I was writing this movie,
yeah.
but you know, but I will say that, it was the original, War War of the Worlds, right? Where,
microbes got them,
where microbes got them, where they came there and like, you know, so it was just like regular, like fucking germs or whatever that got them. Okay. So that was kind of like a mundane thing that killed the aliens that you'd think that they would have known about beforehand. Also, another thing is that one, like I said, this isn't, or two, rather, this isn't really an alien movie. It's kind of about, and if you go with the theory that the aliens are actually demons, then you could argue that the water is like representative of holy water. You know what I mean? And yeah. that's what hurts them. Also, the aliens weren't here that long. I think that somebody said, like, there was some dialogue in the movie where somebody on the radio says, you know, they didn't come here for the planet. They came here to harvest the humans. So if they were coming to harvest the humans, then maybe they didn't really, you know, vet the planet all that much, because they said, hey, there's like some human things over there that maybe we could eat them or whatever. And then they just popped over there and then they were like, oh, shit, bro. Because they, like I said, they were only here for like, I think in the timeline of the movie, they're only here for like 2 or 3 days.
Right.
Because they land, then they kind of like, you know, they're like start harvesting humans with their poison gas or whatever. And then they start getting wet and they're just like, fuck me. And then they get on their shit and they leave.
Yeah, let me come to the defense of War of the Worlds, though, from H.G. Wells. He gave himself an out with the microbes.
Yeah, you see, all right.
what was mentioned several times in the book, and most movies mention it, H.G. Wells' Martians were inside their little mechanical tripods walking around, and the tentacles with tentacles were grabbing people and throwing them into baskets.
Yeah.
Then they were taking the people and bringing them inside inside the little tripod machine. The war machine is what they called it. And we're draining them of blood and injecting that blood into their veins as food.
Yeah.
So microbes killed them, maybe not from the environment, but maybe from some kind of a disease that humans carried that they didn't
that realize. They didn't know about.
They didn't realize. Yeah, some kind of virus must have got them.
Because I do feel like M. Night was kind of making an homage to that.
Yeah.
But in a way that was like a lot more obvious. And like I said, I'm going with the thing that he was doing like a holy water.
Holy water, spiritual shit.
Sure. But like I said, the whole point of the movie is Mel gets his faith back. That's the theme.
Any alien that could walk around this planet without a space suit or pressure suit or anything like that evolved on a planet that had water.
Well, yeah, because there's water in the atmosphere.
Water in the atmosphere, you know.
And everybody's like, what if it rained? What if...
Well, not only that, it's just that life is going to be on a planet like this. If they can be on a planet like this, then it's something based in water. You're not talking about a moon like Titan. where the liquid is damn frozen hydrogen or something, you know, or liquid hydrogen. You know, life could evolve in that, but that thing will never walk around in the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, the temperature's too high.
Yeah.
So it would have evolved on a planet like this, which meant based in water.
Yeah.
So he's got to be talking about holy water.
That's kind of like, and like I said, I don't think, it doesn't bother me that much, because I know a lot of people were like, what the fuck? That's so dumb. But, you know, and I get that. I get that. But I just think it's a metaphorical movie. Now, I'm not saying that M. Night can get away with that every single time, because some of the movies that he made that were dumb as hell, and then later, like when people call him out on it, and then he's like, well, it's not supposed to be real. It's supposed to be like a person telling a story, or it's supposed to, you can't get away with that forever.
It's also made during a different time.
That's true.
The planetary surveys weren't completed. And a lot of people, even today, don't realize what the planetary surveys say now, based on what everything that they've been able to see on these other stars. Planets like Venus, Mars, and Earth are common. Most stars have planets like this in them.
Yeah, we got,
so you're gonna see planets a lot of
all
it
over the place.
Yeah, and you're going to find out, they're going to find out that fucking life is fucking common. Real common.
Well, I'm sure it is.
Most of it's probably microbes, but life's fucking going to be everywhere. Everywhere it can grow, that's what's going to be growing there. And it's mostly going to be like this. And our solar system is a good example of the average of what's out there. You know, gas giants with a bunch of frozen moons. A couple of terrestrial-type planets. And Venus falls into that. Venus is terrestrial.
Yeah.
You know, that might be habitable one day.
Yeah, it's just the atmosphere.
It's just the atmosphere
that we can't. That we can't live in.
People are worried about terraforming Mars. Mars is too small. You can't hold an atmosphere there. It'd be so much easier to terraform Venus, really, if you could get rid of that atmosphere.
Because that's almost the same size.
Yeah. And it wouldn't be that much hotter if it had, if it didn't have the greenhouse effect that it has. But if you could add a bunch of water to it, you could get rid of that greenhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot there. You could live on Venus if you could change the atmosphere. Wouldn't be that much hotter.
Maybe that'll be the next generation of sci-fi movies. We'll be terraforming Venus and everybody will be living there. But well, speaking of aliens, I will say that I really, really like, I like in this movie that he made the decision to do actual crop circles instead of doing CGI crop circles.
Yeah.
So all the crop circles you see, they actually made those.
Yeah, they look good too.
Which, yeah, obviously. And they're obviously real, so it makes that a lot better. This movie, I didn't realize this movie cost $72 million to make. Do you know how much money this fucking shit made?
How much?
$408 million.
Plenty of money.
Yeah, it made shit tons of money. It was super. That's why they kept giving him money to make more movies. Even though a lot of people said that this is probably like his last best one. Because when did Unbreakable come out?
I don't know.
Was it the year or two before this? Now I can't remember.
I don't remember. I don't have a really good sense of when that was.
I can't remember when that came out.
It's in the 2000s sometime.
Well, this was 2002. Maybe Unbreakable came out after this. Because, Unbreakable was decent. And, you know, even the other ones. Now, there's a couple, like I said, there's a couple of them I haven't seen. I haven't bothered to watch The Last Airbender because everybody that I talk to said that it's just, like, don't waste your time because it's terrible. I kind of want to see Lady in the Water just because I heard that it was so bad.
I think I did see it. I don't even think it stuck with me.
And I kind of want to watch The Happening because I've seen some clips from it and it looks unintentionally hilarious, which I'm always down for that. But I mean, you know, you have to think M. Night at some point, you know, his movies were making a shit ton of money. So they kept giving him more money.
Yeah.
I will say too that he's in this movie too.
Yeah.
Which he's got a little bit of an ego, let's put it that way. I kind of feel like he writes himself into his stories, and then he's like, I think maybe was it Lady in the Water where he wrote himself into the story as a storyteller and his story ended up like was gonna save the world or something, and I'm just like, arrogant much? Okay. But
Indian spiritualism.
I don't know, man.
He's like a guru.
But he's in this.
He's a swami.
And I think a lot of, like, I kind of like that he made the decision to write himself as the character that unintentionally killed Mel Gibson's wife in the movie. Like, you know, he fell asleep at the wheel and, like, hit her.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have criticized his acting in this, but it didn't bother me. It didn't stand out as being bad. Actually, all the acting in this was fine. And actually, Mel Gibson in this, I thought, was fantastic.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the scenes, like emotional scenes, like toward the end where they think the world is ending and he's talking to his kids and stuff like that. And he was all like, his jaw was trembling and he was tearing up and stuff. I was like, damn, Mel. I had forgotten that how good he was in this one. And like I said, I like a lot of the humor in it too, especially like him and Joaquin Phoenix, like playing off each other. I love the scene where he comes, where Mel Gibson comes into the house and Joaquin Phoenix and the two kids have tinfoil hats on.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? And they're just looking at him like, what? It keeps us from getting like our minds read by the aliens.
I would have liked to have seen some alien technology. I'd like to see maybe some more alien stuff, a little bit more backstory about what they were trying to do. You're not going to get any of that. So that's
this is essentially a mystery drama.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's more about the characters and their psychological journeys than it is about the aliens. The aliens are almost kind of like incidental, or it's almost kind of like a metaphor for something else.
M. Night's best stuff was that stuff was his version of superheroes. Those three movies right there were great. I would have liked to have seen a whole universe of those, like the MCU. A whole universe of M. Night Shyamalan's version of those fucking heroes and villains. That would have been great.
I think he was kind of gearing toward that because they made three of them. And it's like, I kind of feel like...
I'd like to have seen a whole bunch of those.
But I don't know if they made enough money.
His take on superheroes, if you guys haven't seen that, see that. They're just regular people that happen to have superpowers. It's difficult to explain. You got to start off. What's the first one? Glass?
Unbreakable.
Unbreakable.
That's and then right. Split.
Split.
Is the second one. And then with Glass is
Glass,
the third one.
Yeah.
We saw that one in
Unbreakable.
The theater.
See, Unbreakable. Yeah, that's a real good one. Because, you know, the movie is saying that comic books are based on reality, on real human archetypes, and that those kind of people are out there. And when you find them, they're not wearing... you know, tights and leotards, and they're not really flying or anything. It looks like it's within damn near human abilities, but not quite. Like, knowing what somebody's thinking or going to do if you touch them, or having, you know what I mean? Like, one of the heroes could do that. There's supervillains and shit with multiple personalities. It's just a really good idea. And his writing for that was just spot on. He nailed it. I was getting pulled into that world. I want all three of those movies.
Yeah, you should probably get
those. Yeah, I should get those. I was getting... He could have kept me going forever with those.
I mean, we just saw Glass when it came out in the theater. I haven't seen Unbreakable for fucking years. I can't even remember.
Another one that I wanted to see was like the horror version of superheroes, like that Brightburn. Brightburn was good. The evil Superman...
Yeah, I dug that.
Yeah, it was like a horror movie.
I feel like
movie.
It kind of got mixed reviews, but I saw a lot of people dug it, too.
Yeah, people didn't know what they were talking about.
I thought it was
about.
A good idea.
Fucking right. Like, you superhero movies are possible. What if they were fucking bad, and it was just a horror movie? Like, hell yeah. That's another interesting take. A horror movie version of fucking Spider-Man. A horror version movie of Superman. A horror version of Batman. Yeah.
Yeah. Brightburn was kind of like evil Superman.
Evil Superman.
Yeah.
He was fucking, as a little kid, he was trying to rape women and stuff and doing, he was bad,
yeah,
really
he,
bad.
He was a terrible, terrible child.
Killed his mama. He was an alien creature. Destroying whole cities. Kind of like Godzilla
Laying
movies.
Waste.
Well, you know, yeah, except the Japanese have Godzilla movies and shit. This is just, he's human size, the size of a kid. Fucking right, man. I was impressed. It kind of disturbed me because I was like going, yeah, what if? And at the end of that Brightburn movie, they show a news report that something bad was happening somewhere else, like another one had arrived.
Yeah.
Another supervillain had arrived. Some weird shit.
Yeah, I don't know if that made enough money to like, because I feel like, every big kind of studio film that comes out, now they're all trying to like make an expanded universe out of it.
Yeah.
Which, or at least make, you know, a series of sequels, which I get that, because, you know, they're
trying
to make money.
They need to start gearing that shit towards Netflix and streaming services.
Yeah, I feel really like they're kind of doing that now, but yeah. So, yeah, Signs, 2002.
Yeah, I'm going to say no.
It's weird movie, because no, you, the reason that I picked this one to put in the poll was because I remember you said you had seen it and you liked it, but then when you watched it the second time, you didn't like it?
No.
It's weird because I liked it better the second time, I guess. Because like I said, one, I had forgotten how funny it was. Because actually it is really funny. And the kids are actually funny too, like some of the shit they say. And not in an annoying way, the kids are actually pretty good in this. And I forgot how funny it was, and I forgot how
Maybe it's in my mental state at the time. I don't know.
Maybe. Like I said, I remembered that it was kind of, it's almost kind of like a sci-fi that's not a sci-fi. You know what I mean? Or like a horror.
It's like a lot of things and not a thing.
Like there's another shirt right there. It's like a lot of things, but not a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
In the way that something like Frailty is kind of like a demon movie, but not, or like a religious movie, but not. This is almost kind of like a religious movie with, you know, incidental aliens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, if you haven't seen it, or if you haven't seen it in a long time and you want to check it out, I'd be interested to know, people that saw it a long time ago and haven't seen it for many years. I want to know if you had the same experience that I had. Like I said, I didn't love it, but I liked it better the second time. Because I had only seen it one other time, and that was like ages and ages ago, probably like 15, 20 years ago.
I don't think it held up.
And I liked it better the second time. Just, I guess maybe because I was paying more attention.
Yeah.
Because I already knew that it was alien.
It didn't hold up to me. I paid less attention to it the second time seeing it. It's just
we'll see.
Because I different thought strokes the second time different. I saw it was just more boring.
Yeah, like I said, it is definitely just a drama. It's right. Not really, it's got sci-fi elements, but it's definitely a drama with sci-fi
talking
elements.
And talking and talking.
Tom doesn't have time to listen to all that. He doesn't have time to listen to Mel Gibson
talking. Talking and talking. had a good score, though.
I really do like that score, actually. Yeah. And like I said, that's been kind of called out on a lot of occasions for being a really good score. I can't remember who the fuck did it. I'm sure it's on here somewhere, but I can't, in my notes, but I can't find it. But yeah, this is actually on Tubi right now, yeah? I think it's on Tubi for free if you want to watch it. Might also be on Amazon Prime. I'm sure it is. I think on Amazon Prime you might have to like pay $3.99, but I think it's free on Tubi. So go check it out if you haven't seen it in a while. Like I said, I'm interested to see what everyone's opinion of this is, because I feel like this one is a little bit divisive. So I want to see some discussion. All right, so that'll do it for this movie retrospective. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye.